Hello again, and welcome to the last show of Razzle Dazzle in 2017. Wow, what a year it's been, and Judy Templeton is sitting over there, and she's going to add a few comments a little bit later. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you? And you got me worried when you said last show, just last show for 2017.
Got it. We'll be back in 2018. And the focus of this show is going to be on looking back over the year and special memories, and looking ahead for some other special memories. And one of them will certainly be the benefit concert for the Bald Ballerina. Next to me is a darling, wonderful woman I've known for many years, a beautiful ballerina, a super person, Maggie Kudurka. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us, Maggie, what's happening.
Thank you. So, benefit concert, it's the fourth annual, so it's very exciting. It's going to be bigger and better from the first year. The first year was very small. This year we have the Bad Boys of Ballet performing, and it'll be their first time performing in Howard County. Adrian Canterna, the director, choreographer, founder of the company, will be choreographing a piece on me and the boys to open the show. So,
wow, let's stop it right there because that's too good not to repeat it again, what's happening. This particular benefit has been going on for, you said, 4 years?
Yeah.
And it's not only a special dance benefit, but it's a heartwarming story about Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And if before we get back into who's dancing and what they're dancing, and we will get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Please tell your story.
Sure. So I was dancing in New York. I was living the dream of every ballet dancer, any dancer really, dancing in New York. I was dancing with the Joffrey Concert Group, part of the Joffrey Ballet School. We were a student-based company, danced 9 to 5, training us to be professional dancers. And I was 23 in New York, loving my life, and then all of a sudden, at the end of the season, I was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. So it basically put my career on hold indefinitely because I'm still in treatment. It's 3 years out. I'm still doing good. And shortly after I was diagnosed, I started Bald Ballerina to educate my peers and my friends about breast cancer because I had no clue about it. So I started educating them and advocating for them, and it's just grown into this huge network.
And it's a fabulous network. You have traveled to New York, you've traveled all over, you've had the benefits, you've danced in other people's benefits, including the Dancing for Divas, of course. And in a way, it's been a rewarding experience despite the sadness and the the terrible times that you must have gone through.
Yeah, it's definitely given me a new purpose in life. I thought I was going to be a dancer, and I've ended up being an advocate and finding my voice through words instead of dance. So it's been happy for me because I found another career.
Well, now you still are dancing, though, too.
I'm still dancing.
Please don't underestimate what you've done.
I'm still,
and for you to take what has happened and turn to the positive to help others is what it's all about. And I bet you that's helped you heal.
Yeah, I'm still dancing. I danced all through treatments, and I still dance, but it's not my main focus.
Yep.
It's still my main focus, but it's like sideline right now.
Yep.
Now, you've had a lot of good friends who've helped you, dancers, some famous ones, and some who are coming to the benefit on January 14th here at the college, right?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that.
So Adrian Canterna, she's become my best friend. She was at the very first concert. She's been at all of them. She's performed. She's had her daughter perform. She finds people to perform. She's really been my support for this concert, I would say. She helps put it together. I do most of the work, but she helps with everything else. She's performing along with her company, Bad Boys of Ballet, like I mentioned earlier. The boys will be dancing a total of 3 times. So I'm doing a piece with them that'll be the world premiere. And then Adrian and the boys will be doing a piece that she choreographed in honor of me back 2 years ago. So they'll be performing that piece. It's called Strengthen. I'm not going to say it because I might get the title wrong, but it's a beautiful piece.
Mm.
Wonderful. It'll close the first act, and then she'll choreograph a big finale with all the guests. So that's our headliner, I guess I should say. And then we have Derek Dunn, who grew up in Glen Burnie. I grew up with him. We did Nutcrackers together. We did everything. He's now a soloist with Boston Ballet. He was a soloist with Houston Ballet. So he'll be coming down and performing. He's doing a solo that he did when he was younger, so he's bringing that back. And that's exciting because Derek hasn't performed in Maryland in I don't know how long. And then we have John Olstad, who's very new to the States. He performed with Netherlands Dance Theater. He retired because he has health issues, had some health issues, and just wanted to choreograph and teach and do that. So he's coming down from New York. And then we have Ashley Cantorna will be performing. She just had a baby, and she's whipping herself into shape to perform.
I betcha.
Good motivation.
Yeah, she was like, I'm gonna perform. You give me, like, purpose to get in shape. There's Adrian and Ashley's sister-in-law, Alicia Cantorna, will be performing. We have the whole Cantorna family basically performing. Who else? We have Jordan Epstein. She performed last year as well. She's a So You Think You Can Dance finalist. Trying to think of who else. I always seem to forget someone.
You'll have plenty of time. Yeah. But I think the audience...
Sophie, I'm sorry. Okay. We can switch.
Yeah. Maggie, a lot of folks don't really understand ballet, for example. Mm-hmm. And this particular concert is really geared for a young audience because it has not only classical ballet, but a lot of zippity-doo-dah, sort of modern hip-hop, jazz mm-hmm. elements in it. Talk a little bit to the audience who's listening to this show. What exactly you do on the stage?
I personally just live my life. It was my way of expressing myself growing up. I was speech delayed, so it's my way of expressing myself. It's my way of talking. For other people, it's just like their second personality. But for me, it's really talking and like expressing who I am and putting myself on the stage and exposing myself, I guess I should say.
Yes, and you know, that is the power of the performing arts that we talk about on here all the time. And because Carolyn and I, I'm just going to say, have worked in that arena for a long time, and I'm leaving it at that, Carolyn, we have seen the transformation of so many kids and how it affects them. And so dancing your story is what you've done, and that's mm-hmm. still what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a beautiful thing because that gives you another facet to yeah. express as well, even though you've pushed through and come mm-hmm. to where you are. And you do more with what you've gone through than the average person does anyway. So I bow mm-hmm. down to you. I truly do.
You.
So that's very interesting. So that was because you had a speech delay.
Yeah, so I was speech delayed. I'm dyslexic, so I didn't talk until I was, I don't even know, but I went to speech therapy for years. I still did not like public speaking. And even up until I was diagnosed, I hated doing public speaking. I would never do it. And this, like, forced me to speak in public, obviously, because I'm doing
and
it.
And here you are on the radio.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. What a test.
So it's really been my outlet. And when I was diagnosed, I went right back into the studio the day after I was diagnosed just to dance out my feelings and to, like, pretend that I never got diagnosed. It's my escape.
What an inspiration you are, just sitting next to you. So, yeah. So, I mean, so keep sending your message.
Oh,
keep dancing your story because, you know, you're affecting a lot of people that way. So, in the positive way.
In the positive way, yes.
Now, the theme of our show today is looking back over the year. And besides the benefit, which was last January mm-hmm. here at the college,
yep.
and will be next January here at the college, there were some special moments that you had. Could you share some of them?
Oh, I had a lot of moments this year. Shortly after the benefit, I was in New York. I walked in New York Fashion Week. My friends, Dana and Champagne, who passed in the spring, passed away from breast cancer, put on a fashion show with Dana's line, Anna Ono. It's for breast cancer patients, for bras, like whatever they need after surgery. So she had 16 of us walk. We all had breast cancer. We all walked in Fashion Week. That was a huge highlight. And
powerful.
Yeah, and I decided, because I do not walk good in heels, I decided to walk on point. So I walked on my point shoes.
All right.
Wow.
Yes. And yesterday, actually, I just got asked to walk again. She's doing another show in honor of Champagne, so I will be walking again in February. And then in March, since I was diagnosed, I decided to start a bucket list and start crossing things off slowly. And I went to India. That was a big mark on my bucket list. So I went to India for my birthday. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I had to take it. That was a fun little mark. And then, let's see, in March again, I performed at the All-Star Rising Star Competition because I was a Rising Star winner.
Are we ever going to see the Edith Piaf "Je ne regrette rien" piece again?
I don't think so.
Okay, you've retired that one.
It was recycled into my new piece that I performed at Rising Star and I did at the concert. So it was recycled and like added on and changed a little bit.
And now, because you're called the Bald Ballerina and obviously danced when you lost your hair from chemo and other treatments, now you have hair.
I do have hair.
It does. Great and pretty. Everything. Yeah. I know.
How does that affect both the image and the dancing as you come on? Have there been any comments or people wondering?
People have said, well, now you're not the bald ballerina. And I'm like, well, I technically still am because I could become bald if my cancer come back and I have to go back through chemo. I will be bald again. So I just like the name. It's catchy. It's me. It's part of me. I will always have been bald. I always have pictures of me bald. So I don't want to change the name. And I don't think I should change the name because it's me.
And it's a symbol of, too.
It's a symbol. And it's a symbol of hope and strength and positivity and
absolutely.
To embrace it.
Before we wrap up this part of our show today, which has been just wonderful, thank you, Maggie, is there a shout out to some of the docs who've helped you and some of the other supporters who may not be dancers?
Well, to you, Carolyn, because you've supported me from the beginning, a huge shout out to you. And then to my oncologist, who we actually share, Dr. David Riceberg. He's been there from the beginning. He has a sixth sense about me. He knows my body and knows if I need a scan, if I need this, I need that. So huge shout out to him. He's kept me alive and dancing. And then to my surgeon, Dr. Friedman, for doing a great surgery. I was back in the studio a week after surgery. So huge shout out to that.
Huge shout out to you because, yes, those people were all there to support you, but you're the one that kept on dancing.
Oh, thank
so
you.
I honor you and bow down to you.
Oh, thank you.
Give the information to all the listeners where they can get tickets, how they can get tickets, how they can support and send a check to donation to your fund. Voila.
So the concert will be on January 14th at Howard Community College Smith Theater at 2:30. You can get tickets by emailing me at baldballerina@gmail.com. I am giving a discount to all Howard Community College students. It'll be $25 tickets. So when you pick up your ticket, you'll just need to show your ID. And you can email me and I'll send you all the information for checks, donations, whatever you need.
And the email is?
baldballerina@gmail.com.
Okay, easy to remember.
Yes.
So, Carolyn, here we are at the end of 2017, and I'm looking back and thinking back, gosh, we've been at it here at Razzle Dazzle for like a year and a half.
Wow.
I know, and all because in a dance class one night, I said to you, Carolyn, you and I should be doing radio. And you took the ball and ran, as you do, and here we are. And it's been a great time. I mean, we've had some pretty fun shows on here, okay? We've learned a lot, and we've certainly been entertained. What's one of your favorite shows looking back?
Ooh, let's see. We have Chris, who is on the monitor right here. And I would just mention to her a few minutes ago that my favorite show actually was when Sammy Miller brought his entire band.
I knew it.
I mean, there must have been eight musicians in this little room here at the college, which is the Dragon Studios in the basement down here. And we rocked. The occasion was a new musical that Carol Lehan had created for the Glen Elg Country School kids to perform at the school. And instead of just asking, you know, a few musicians from the area, she brought in this fabulous troupe. I think they came from California, at least Sammy Miller did. And he brought in these French horn players, banjo players, saxophone, trombonist, and they put on a show right here.
Live.
And I will never forget that. And maybe we'll be able to go out the show with a clip from that particular show. Judy, how about you?
That would be wonderful. Well, I was not one of the players in that show that day, but heard, of course, about it. And it kind of reminded me of the days that you and I did TV and we put so many people in the studio, we couldn't move, you know? So there's just been so many wonderful people that have played into this. And we've looked through, we've had memories of early Columbia when Stan Baer came in and told us about that, right on through to today's discussion of the Bald Ballerina. I mean, we've had a lot of diverse speakers to speak with. I don't know if I can even choose which one, but I would have to say that I really loved when we spoke about the Nutcracker. And we had Svetlana.
Svetlana Kravtsova. Svetlana.
All right, you do it so much better than me, Carolyn, from the La Trois Ballet. And I was privileged to see this ballet. I took my mom, who's 89 years old, and my granddaughter, who's 5. So that's multi-generational there. And this was quite... This was just an exciting experience. It was an amazing ballet, and it truly could be at the Lincoln Center. It really could. I haven't seen a Nutcracker the likes of this in a long time, I must tell you. So speaking with her, and she spoke so beautifully, and she was so humble to speak to. So I really loved that interview that we did. Of course, we should do a shout out to our boy Mo, who, oh, sadly, is in Florida right now, and he comes and helps us out when he can. And didn't we hear a little rumor about Mo coming up, Carolyn?
Yes, this is breaking news.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
I've got breaking news here. Mo Dutterer, Myron Mo Dutterer,
yeah,
will be the host of the 2018 Rising Star Gala, which will be held here at the college on March 24th. No longer do we have Dick Story. He has retired. And we now have our own Mo, our co-host,
Yay.
Who has been, he's contributed so much over the years. He himself won a Howie for as an educator of the arts. But more than that, he's such a great guy. And he brings, a little bit of sass to the show. And he certainly brings a lot of knowledge of the local theaters. He never forgets to mention every single high school show. And unfortunately, I don't have his list so that we can't do it on today's show.
That's all right. We have a while for those because they don't go up until March.
Another wonderful bit of news for all you fans.
Breaking news again.
And I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this yet because it hasn't been released. But Rick Rider, terrific Broadway performer who grew up in Columbia, who has done benefits galore. He was the host of Dancing for Divas. He's done every Rising Star sing-along when asked, along with other former young Columbians. He got the Howie Award for Best Performance.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, don't tell. Okay. I promise.
It will be announced soon, but I was so excited. He called me on the phone to tell me that.
That's great. Well deserved.
Looking back over the year again, and I know you were here for this, Judy, we had Ian Kennedy.
Oh, I loved that interview. Thank you.
Yes, and it was important to note that there's so much happening in Columbia. There's pros and cons on the development of Columbia. But I particularly like to hear the old stories of Meriwether Post Pavilion. And a lot of Columbians really don't have a good sense of the history of the new city, as it was once called.
Right.
And he brought a lot of that information back by talking about, and you added to it, about the old concerts. I can't remember which ones you had seen. Jimi Hendrix, I think.
Janis Joplin, don't forget her, too.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's important to really look back to see what a tremendous opportunity it was for people to see top-notch entertainment right here in Columbia and sit out at a reduced rate. And now with, in the old years, but now with Ian Kennedy and the organization, the nonprofit that he started, he is bringing to Columbia the chance to renew this all for the people philosophy of Meriwether Post and the shows. And we're hoping that he really keeps his word and folks support them.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Next year, and we'll give you the new lineup probably in the February or March show.
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, that's so interesting you said that, because I was telling my college class just yesterday what Meriwether was like back in the day. And they were completely shocked, because they can only think of it as a kind of hard rock country venue. And so I told them that I saw amazing. Do you remember the Hoofers that came to Meriwether? That was unbelievable. Cab Calloway, I mean, it was an unbelievable show. I mean, this goes way back. Judy Garland.
Judy Garland was the first headliner. A lot of people. That's a good trivia to ask at a party. Mm-hmm. Who was the first headliner? Most people would say Van Cliburn, because he performed with the symphony, the Washington Symphony, when it was in residency. But Judy Garland was the first headliner. And I heard from the then manager of Meriwether Post Pavilion, all these little secrets I'm giving out today.
Oh, you are today. All right, tune in.
She was bombed, and she walked through the audience. And Liza Minnelli was on stage with her father, you know, and she walked up there, and it was in her time and troubled times that she performed here, but she did. And another person that most people don't know who performed here was Marlene Dietrich.
Yes, that's
true. Wow, that is a real gem. The important part to remember about Meriwether is the stage itself was built, and I think I mentioned this on the previous show, the stage was built by George Balanchine, the founder of the New York City Ballet. He actually put down the floor and every nail, along with Jim Wanamaker, who was an engineer at the time who worked with the Rouse Company. And Jim told me this. And that stage remains the best sight line for dance in the country.
Wow, I did not know that, Carolyn. That is interesting. Right. And that shows you, I mean, so we saw a lot of great dance on that stage back
in the 60s, 70s. New York City Ballet was in residency.
Yes, yep.
Alvin Ailey appeared here three times.
Yep, absolutely.
Rudolf Nureyev did a television show there with Mary Poppins. Help me out on her name.
Julie Andrews.
You got it.
Yep, that's right. You are so right. Yeah, so crossed fingers. But yes, I think that, you know, we're going to see a whole change and see a much more diverse stage there. And I would certainly love to see that. Another show I was thinking about was the Taco Wells. Remember when
Tico.
Tico. That's it. Tico. Gosh, sorry, Tico. Not Taco. yes. And then, of course, our dear Toby, when she came to speak. And this was all around June, when we were celebrating big for the 50th year. So he was great fun to talk to, too. So now he's back in California, I believe.
Yes, he's doing films and television shows. We could talk forever about some of the kids who grew up in Columbia, but I wanted to ask Chris if she'd jump in here, just comment. Tell folks what it's like to work with these two ditzy blondes who do this razzle-dazzle.
It is a hoot, as Carolyn Kellerman would say. It's wonderful. You guys have a lot of energy. You guys bring all these wonderful guests and these wonderful stories like the ones you were just sharing that otherwise I don't think people would really be able to encounter and they would not have access to. So the background that you guys bring into the show and into our station is something that I very, very much appreciate. So, and you guys, you know, I know that the show has a lot of energy and it's great fun. But, I mean, Carolyn and Judy mean business. So if you're listening to this and you think, you know, this is just a fun little thing, no. This takes serious work. And Carolyn and Judy are definitely putting out all that work that needs to create a wonderful show like it is Razzle Dazzle. So
promise that was a spontaneous interview, folks.
Okay, moving right along. We do have to get to 2018.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes.
And I just want to mention that there, of course, the dance department here at the college always puts on a fabulous weekend of dance. They bring in guest artists and they invite kids from all the schools to participate, and then they put on a show.
That's the Community Dance Festival you're speaking
about,
right? Yep. I have the dates right here,
as a matter of fact.
February 10th and 11th. It's a must-see. 7 o'clock, and then there's a Sunday matinee at 2. Yeah. Please come out for that. Yeah, it's really, you're going to see some amazing dance. And again, it's got a nighttime performance and a daytime. Rep Stage is also going to start in February with All She Must Possess. So Rep Stage, if you've never been to a Rep Stage, well, shame on you. And you got to come, because the shows they put on are simply amazing, but really a small group venue, so you really get intimate theater, and they make you think, most of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a clue on that show, but we've got to get someone to kind of come on the show and talk about
it. Oh, we will.
You were talking about Nutcracker before. There are no Nutcrackers that I know of in the early 2018.
No, so you're not going to see one there.
But my friend and Judy's friend, Deborah DeVoe, a longtime dance teacher in Columbia,
yes,
and a teacher at Glen Elg Country School, has written a book. And
what?
It's just been published.
Are
so
you kidding?
I'm going to use this time to hype it. It's called Ballet Busters, Leap into the First Nutcracker. What a delightful trip. The description of the first Nutcracker classical ballet and especially Theater Street in St. Petersburg was accurate and charming, said Michelle Kellerman, National Public Radio diplomatic correspondent. I recommend that all children read this, especially those who take ballet. Svetlana Kratsova, founding artistic director, L'Etoile, the Russian Ballet Academy of Maryland. The story has it all: intrigue, suspense, beautiful imagery, history, and time travel. A perfect novel for any second to third grader. DeVoe's ability to general neutralize the oft female-driven ballet landscape is a rare treat. Angela Horgis, school librarian, Glen Elg Country School. And finally, this book has broad appeal as it illuminates this beloved ballet while appealing to the very emotions grappled with by young dancers, keeps you on the edge of your seat. Sandra Perez, Associate Professor of Dance Education, Towson University. You can go on Amazon, $10.99. It's Miss Deborah's Dancing Doorways is the website. And I congratulate you, Deb.
And I bow down to you, Deb. That's great, an author in our midst. And actually, Carolyn, just to go back to, you said you weren't sure about All She Must Possess. It's about the Cone Sisters, the darling eccentric Cone Sisters, Dr. Clarabelle and Miss Etta, and of course their benefactors down at our very own Baltimore Museum of Art. So it should be intriguing because their lives were very, let's say, interesting. So yeah, let's go see that. And just looking back, let me just say that, again, Rep Stages really pulled it out. They had two amazing shows this year, The Heidi Chronicles, done in the round, and then Lady Day. And, of course, that's about Billie Holiday, and that was done in cabaret style. And in between, there was some other shows, one called Rhinoceros. Bill Gillette did that, and I heard it was quite intriguing, and I wish I would have seen it, and In the Cotton. And that was a collaborative between students from Carroll Community College, Prince George's, and Howard Community College, and it was written by students about the subject of race on campuses. So that was, another style theater, certainly, too. I got to see the fabulous student dance showcase, and it was absolutely wonderful. Wow, what a really extraordinary many, many forms of dance, and it was all well done. Really, really clean. It was very exciting to see. So that's some of the local scenes that we've seen.
And we can't forget one of the top-notch guests that we've had a number of times, Sue Kramer. And
right.
The show gets on this weekend, run out and see her latest, greatest attempt. It's the Truman Capote Stories. And it's,
Holiday Memoirs.
And as Chris mentioned, it will be a hoot.
Oh, absolutely. I know. And look forward to her work again, because she'll do a Valentine affair where that's a really different kind of venue. I went to it last year and it's super fun. Take your Valentine date. And she has an improv class just for 3 weeks in March, just for adults. So you don't want to miss that.
Wrapping it up, I'm Carolyn Kellerman.
I'm Judy Templeton. And it's Razzle Dazzle Radio. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.